This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and Money Podcast, episode 89. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, beach girl?
Yeah, we spent a weekend, well, a day and a half at the beach. I don't know if I can call that a weekend, but day and a half, it felt very nice. And then, of course, we finished up one of our projects around the house.
Ooh, look at you guys.
Yeah, so if you follow me on Instagram, I finally posted something in first time in ages.
Man, congratulations.
Yeah, you'll see our before and after of our outdoor kitchen area.
And what is it? Agile Amanda?
Yes.
Agile Amanda on Instagram. Check us out. Make sure you follow her. And is it follow on there or like her? I can't remember. I haven't been on Instagram in so long myself.
Why are you asking me?
I'm like Mr. Social Media. I'm so busy driving trucks. I mean, what am I? Yeah. I'm too busy with Facebook to go over to Instagram right now. Anyway, That's awesome. You look so happy. I'm glad you got away and turned everything off. Hopefully you disconnected for a little bit.
I did, yes. And then, you know, this coming week and weekend are going to be super stressful. So it was nice to recharge.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
All right. On this show, I thought we'd do something just a little bit different.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Special show today. Yes. Very special.
So I saw this article. It popped up. I get on my Google phone because based on what I look at online, Amanda, Google phones give you a news feed based on, yeah, and it caters it. You know. Anyway, so this popped up and it is the 18 ways that people become broke by trying to be rich. I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. So I started looking through a list. I'm like, oh my God. It's everything that we talk about because it is exactly what Amanda talks about in Savvy Savings, what I talk about, what really fires me up. And I thought it'd be good commentary.
Today is a very special Savvy Savings segment, 18 ways people become broke by trying to become rich.
There we go. See, Amanda, we work together on Savvy Savings.
Yeah, but you're the collaborative Savvy Savings.
It's a collab. Yes, it's a collab. That's what the cool kids call it, collab. All right. So what do you got on the list there, Amanda?
Well, so the first is called buying lottery tickets.
Oof.
Yeah. So the odds of winning a Powerball lottery jackpot are like one in like 300 million.
You mean like one in the population of the United States?
Yeah. So buying 10 tickets or 100 or even 1,000 doesn't greatly improve the chances. The odds are getting killed by a meteorite are significantly better. That's only one in at least 700,000. But that doesn't stop people from buying lottery tickets. So last year, Americans spent $74 billion with a B on lottery tickets.
Okay. I have a question though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't believe in them. But I do admit I have bought them.
Yeah.
Every
like
now
the scratch-offs or like the
draw? I don't do scratch-offs. No, every now and then I was like, you know what? I'll just participate in this stupid lotto or Powerball. And I don't know why. And I already know in my head I'm not going to do it. But there's something about the excitement of it.
Yes.
And so you get caught up in it. But it's not like I need that money to pay off a loan or something. It's like, it's
that's
a little
just
bit
your
of
entertainment money.
Yeah. And I'm talking about like a hand them $10. I'm not buying like $100 worth, which I know people in my life that have done that. Not in my life, but friends. I've seen them do that. Or what's your thoughts about this? I think this is where it gets a little weird. If for all of us that don't believe into this, wait a minute, do you buy lottery tickets at all?
Yeah, I buy some scratch-offs every now and then. Like last week, I did $20 worth, and I won $18, so I'm only down $2.
There you go. Okay, so let's say you're in the workplace, And there's all these people in the office, and there's this one person said, hey, we're going to do an office get together. Everybody put $5. We're all going in together on this.
Oh, the pool. Yes.
Yeah. So it's either if you don't do it, you're now that you're not a team player. I guess it would be. Oh, in the office
environment. I don't think people care. I mean, it's just one less person they would have to split the winnings with.
That's true. And then if you don't do it, do you think now it's been here's what goes through my head, even though it's totally. What, 1 in 300 million yeah. shot. There's something in the back of my head that if everybody else wins and I don't, I'm the sucker still sitting here, even though I know that's not going to happen.
Right.
But there's still a chance. Yep. So I say, here's my $5. And I'm a team player. So what do you think why I should not do or what are the limits with ticket lottery tickets? Because we both admit we buy them every now and then.
Yeah, well, so no one's gonna go broke spending a dollar or two on a few times a year, but some people spend astronomical sums on money hoping to hit that jackpot. You know, it's not a retirement plan, but it's crazy. There's a number of people in the U.S. that is the best retirement plan that they have, is hoping to hit a lottery jackpot. It's just not likely.
There you go. So they end up going broke because they're wishing on a prayer and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And then a lot of people go broke after winning the lottery because they don't have the budgeting skills and discipline that we're talking about on a week in, week out basis.
Okay.
So again, if you want to buy them, we've talked before about people and their, you know, dirty little luxury sins. Fine, but budget for it. You know, like for me, I pay for it out of my allowance.
Well, and of course, everything in my life refers back to the TV show, The Office.
Yeah.
When the guys down the warehouse won the lottery, and the one guy did not buy the tickets, and he's still there, but they blew all the money.
Yep, there's even a show called like the lottery, winning the lottery like ruined my life or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and many of them it does not turn out well.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. What else you got on the list?
So the next one is trying to look prosperous. So we've talked about that before, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that you should dress for the job you want, not the one you have. But that can be taken to a financially damaging extreme. So, you know, $400 Jimmy Choo shoes might not be a good idea for a barista at Starbucks. Still, a widely reported survey last spring found that 1 in 8 Americans were okay with going $1,000 or more in debt to make it look like they were living like the Kardashians.
Oh my God. 1,000?
Yeah.
Wow. That's sad.
Right now it's really sad because no one's even leaving their houses for other people to look at how they're dressed. So this is like the keeping up with the Joneses, you know, broke people trying to look rich. It's, you know, it's funny. Like every time I see a fancy brand new car in someone's driveway, like a Tesla sitting in someone's two bathroom house driveway, I think, wow, those people are broke. It's like your whole mindset changes.
I see way too many people buying things I know, or they're buying brand new cars. We've talked about that a million times, just buying stuff because they want to look rich, but they're not.
Yeah.
It's fake. I don't know what term fake wealth. Right. So.
Yep. They're the financial frauds, basically.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Financial frauds.
Yeah. So the next one is starting a business irresponsibly. So some 400,000 businesses launch each year, but 470,000 close. That's interesting math, isn't it?
Yeah, that's backwards. That means, wait a minute, wouldn't we eventually run out of businesses with that math?
You probably would, yes. Okay. And that's on years when there isn't a pandemic to further complicate matters. So entrepreneurs need more than just an idea to make it. They need enough customers who want their products or services and the ability to hang on until the cash starts flowing. So this comes into play a lot lately, especially we hear a lot of questions of, oh, I think I'm going to get my real estate license, for example. Well, you're actually starting your own business when you become a real estate agent. It's not like you just go out and get hired. You attach to a brokerage and you're running your own solo business then. So that's one way I see people who don't really have a plan. They just are like, oh, well, I don't really have a lot else going on, so let me do this. What else do you see, Craig?
Well, and you also said in another podcast, a real estate agent should not expect to make a profit for a year.
Well, yeah, 6 to 12 months is pretty much the average.
And what about people that decide, okay, I'm going to start flipping houses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so a big again, fail. That's where you put a whole bunch of money up front and hope it with good planning that you'll actually make a profit at the back end. But that doesn't always happen because markets are finicky.
And watching all these TV shows, HGTV, all these reality shows, people open up restaurants. They were not
mm-hmm. Restaurants are so hard.
Yeah. And the people that open them, they've always wanted to run one, but they're not a chef. They don't know anything, but they always want to have a restaurant. So people have these dreams. They think it's easy to just run a business. Like
I want to open a coffee shop. I hear that one a lot. Or a bed and breakfast.
Yeah. I'm going to run this. And they like, but they don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So they go full into something without actually working part-time at a coffee shop to understand how it works. Remember how I talked about franchises? People want to open a franchise.
Yeah.
You should work at the franchise for a couple months is the common advice I hear. Work at the franchise to know how it works and watch everything works. And like, do I really want to run this thing? Do I really want a McDonald's? I mean, seriously.
It's a big time commitment.
Yeah.
You have to be passionate. That's my number one rule is you have to be passionate about it or you're going to lose interest.
And not fake
and you have to have like... I'm not knocking her, but I have a sister who gets really super passionate about new ideas right up front.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that excitement wanes, you know?
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you also have to consider what triggered that excitement? Did they see someone else do it? And then think, oh my God, they must be doing well. I need to do that. But without thinking about the
idea.
Process.
Yeah, but then you're spread so thin across 10 great ideas and it doesn't work out. Mm. All right, so what do we have next? Oh, there's your favorite, trying to beat the stock market.
The Robin Hooders. Oh, okay.
The stock market isn't a path to wealth for everyone. It's not easy to be a day trader. Oh, I spent so much time this weekend talking about this.
Oh, man.
Today's investing environment is exceedingly difficult for individual investors to generate superior returns to those provided by low-cost index funds, CPA, Sean Stein Smith.
And that was actually from a CPA that said that. And normally they don't say that, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many times have we talked about this ad nauseum?
Yes. Yeah. Many, many times.
But people want to argue with us.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, I'm not bragging, but I want to just point out the fact I stopped doing everything with the stock market. How many weeks have I been doing this gaming thing? 13 as of 13. The recording. I said, look, I'm messing up because I'm looking at it every day. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to touch anything. No changes. Done. I'm now up 89%
this year.
Because
I haven't touched mine in ages either.
And but a lot of the growth happened because I stopped touching it and looking at it.
89% over what time period?
The year to date. Year to date. Not since the fall. I'm talking about January 1st.
That's great.
I am killing it.
I'm only up 65%.
Yeah, but I was that... a couple podcasts ago, we had this, we were matched, but last week I had a surge and jumped. No,
last week I had a dive. So we flip flopped.
Well, because you know why? I'm not in the technology right now on the stocks, the stock portion. But anyway, so, I mean, I'm glad I'll look at, but of course everything kind of went down the day we're recording it. It's a Monday and things went down a little bit again. So. Because
don't touch your 401k.
Yeah, just don't do it, guys. You're better off not touching it. But nobody, everybody wants quick money. Stop trying to beat the stock market. Nobody knows. Nobody. The best stock guy doesn't even know. Trust us. Long-term mindset. Move on.
All right. Number 5. I'm starting to number these so that we...
Oh, thank
everyone,
you.
Everyone knows when the light is at the end of the tunnel. Number 5, investing every penny. So it's unwise to put money into the stock market without holding back enough savings for when things don't work out. Investments may never yield a profit, and investors who encounter an emergency when they funneled all their money into the stock market will be in serious financial trouble. That's exactly in line with the order in which we coach the baby steps, right?
What would that be, baby step 3, that fully funded emergency fund. Where have I heard that before?
Before you start investing.
Right. Why do you think, guys, we tell you that? By the way, we did a best of on Monday of one of the questions we had last week of the guy that asking, he said, well, if I don't have any debt, can I skip that, go right to baby step three? Which led to a discussion that you brought up. Let's talk about buying versus renting and having that emergency fund. That was a great discussion we had, and I posted that separately. Guys, that emergency fund, I'm going to reiterate, that is so important. It has saved me. And you can go listen to that podcast. It's only 9 minutes. It's epic, I thought. I mean, you got to have it. Roofs epic. Have to be epic. The roofs have to be replaced. You can't change that. Your HVAC will have to be replaced. These are things that your cars will have to be replaced. It's guaranteed.
So number five, investing every penny. Oh, we just talked about that. Shoot. Number six, failing to read the fine print. Everyone should know by now, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And even a good deal can turn bad when you're not aware of the details. So study after study shows that people pay no attention to potentially crucial fine print, whether it's in a social networking, privacy policy, or a standard form contract. Missing nuances when signing on the dotted line could lead to any number of terrible consequences. For instance, some business contracts have gag orders and demand arbitration instead of a day in court if there's a legal conflict. Oh, yeah, I teach all my students about arbitration. Mm. It's in nearly every form contract or click-through agreement. Mm.
Well, this is your subject. I mean, a lot of people don't. I mean, I admit, I mean, I don't know what I'm reading when I sign these papers.
I'll give you an example. So I read every contract and all the boring fine print, right?
Yeah. Well, you understand it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's true, but most of it's, you know, you can understand.
Okay.
So we signed up for ADT home. We signed up for a security system a couple of years ago. It's a 3-year contract. And last week, I got a notice in the mail that said, we are raising our rates like $4.50 a month as allowed in our contract. And I was like, that's not really allowed. Right. So I pulled out the contract and it's a 3-year agreement and it's for a set amount, like $52.99 a month. And then I read through the fine print and sure enough, lo and behold, in a section there, it says they have a right to increase their rates after the first year by giving notice. But if I object within 30 days, they either have to waive it or I can cancel my contract with no penalty, which is a big deal because there's all these early termination fees, you know, with cable companies and all that. So, you know, I called them up and the first person I spoke to said, no, we aren't waiving it for anyone. I said, okay, well, transfer me to someone else. And they did. And they're like, oh, yes, you're allowed to to object.
Wow. So like, they're trained to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
So I said, no, I'm allowed. So if you don't waive it, I'm canceling. She's like, well, there'd be a penalty. I'm like, no, there will not be a penalty.
They sent that letter to the wrong person.
Yeah. And it's like $4.50 a month, but it's the principal.
Still.
It's the principal. Because if they, you know, they increase it now, then they increase it again in a few months, you don't know. So every time I get one of those notices, I call them and object. The first time.
I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of credit card companies will send the same thing, raising your rate, but it does give you an opt out if you communicate with them. But a lot of people don't make that communication.
Yeah. So the opt out is you can call or sometimes you have to write and object. And sometimes your only option is to cancel.
Yeah.
They won't waive it, but it's worth a shot to see if they'll waive it.
Mm. All right.
All right. Number seven, getting online payday loans. Oh, I hate these so much. God.
I can't imagine doing a regular payday around the quarry, but you can do it online.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. Individuals with get rich quick mentality may want money as quickly as possible for investments or business opportunities. And payday loan companies provide it with few questions asked. But these loans are a trap with an average $15 fee for each $100 borrowed, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says that's 400% APR.
Oh, my God.
400%. It's robbery.
Oh, my God. I thought they were supposed to try and come out with legislation to get rid of this payday crap.
Yeah, but, it's hard to get anything.
That's true. Money talks up above. I don't want to get political, but you're right. Lobbyist.
Yeah, but so this is another example of you didn't have money set aside for when things come up. You had more month left than you had money in your bank account, so you're budgeting poorly. You have to get in control of your money and tell it what to do.
And what happens is you start getting desperate, and now you start titling your car. You're borrowing money from, and it's a spiral, guys, and it doesn't stop.
It's very difficult to reverse. So it's time to start being intentional with every penny.
Yeah. I know people have done that spiral, and it's really ugly.
It's hard to climb out. Yeah. No. Number 8, falling for money transfer scams. Oh, we hear so much about this.
Oh, my God.
Countless scams and schemes prey on victims who are some mix of sympathetic and greedy, often based on getting them to send money with the promise of getting much more back later. Many are long, sad stories explaining the need to transfer money out of a faraway country. By the time the victims wise up and stop sending money, it's too late. The scammers not only have their money, but also have enough information to start impersonating the victim and maybe even withdraw all the money in their bank account. So this used to be like the Nigerian Prince email, but it's gotten more sophisticated.
It's really bad on Facebook right now in chat rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even with
when people are impersonating your account.
Yeah. That's going on right now with my gaming account. They're using my logos, my photos, and everything, and there's not anything I can do to stop it. So the only thing I can do is educate my people, but it's my face being used by people in Malaysia and the Philippines, pretending to be me, and they're getting their credit cards and everything. And then people come to me and start yelling at me. I'm like, it is not me. And it's pretty bad. And it's going on a lot across Facebook. And it's like every social platform.
Yeah.
Never give your credit cards to anybody. Don't get blackmailed, because they're also blackmailing people. It's pretty ugly.
You get a phone call and they claim that they have your loved one and they're holding them, they're kidnapped and holding them hostage, and you have to go and get a prepaid card from, the pharmacy and read off the numbers to them. And before you know it, you have $500,000 gone.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Once the money's gone, it's gone. There's no way to get it back. That's why they use things that are untraceable.
No one's going to get you. No one's going to help you. Nobody cares. So,
well, you can file a police report, but it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. They'll just okay.
Oh, we got a lot of scams and schemes here. So the next one, number 9, falling for a dating scam. Oof. It may sound like the plot from a Lifetime movie. Oh, yeah, there's lots of these in those. But the FBI says people really do use fake dating profiles to take advantage of unsuspecting lonely hearts. They begin an online romance with someone in another state or country and always use the same sort of last minute emergency to avoid a face-to-face meeting and eventually ask for money.
Yep. And that goes along with that money transfer scam. The gift cards, a common one I see a lot is the fake U.S. military overseas.
Yeah.
There'll be a young guy and they find they'll find the divorced or the widows in America on Facebook. And they start communicating with that. Hey, can you send me these gift cards and stuff like that?
Or send me money so I can get home because, I can't afford a flight or something like that. Yeah.
That's a common one. They try, and no one turns down the military, and that's a common one.
Yeah, but it's not really the military, just to be clear.
No. These are fake profiles from.
Right. Pretending.
Yeah. From Nigeria, Malaysia. These are common countries where this happens anyway.
Okay. Number 11, right? No, we skipped one. Number 10. Buying a timeshare. Oh, no. Whew, this is a rough list, Craig.
I know.
Timeshares are property shared by several people, with each paying a portion of the value and upkeep for costs for the privilege of staying there 1 to 3 weeks a year. But according to a financial expert, Dave Ramsey, the maintenance fees are ridiculously high and investors don't get any equity out of the property. All true statements.
Yes. Please don't do timeshares. Don't go to the pitch. Just don't do it.
Yeah. They'll entice you with a free weekend here or there. You just have to sit through 1 hour. They call it a 1 hour presentation. I've yet to see one that's 1 hour.
And And those things are designed by experts to get in your brain. Just avoid it.
Yeah. No, they're very enticing.
Scientific.
Yeah. I'm just like made of stone. So they can't get me to say yes.
Yeah.
But I can see how others fall for it because their pitches are very sophisticated.
Oh, yeah. I sat through one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number 11, falling for an envelope stuffing scheme. So who wouldn't want to earn an extra $550 to $3,000 a week just by sitting at home stuffing envelopes, especially with free postage and supplies? But the FTC warns that consumers have to send money for the opportunity. That doesn't sound right, does it? In return, they receive a letter instructing them to get friends and family to also become envelope stuffers. What they never receive is money for stuffing envelopes. That just sounds like Ponzi scheme written all over it.
Yeah, I think that was more in the 90s. I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has resurfaced because of COVID.
I think so, because people are just sitting home looking for extra income. It's
back on the list, yeah.
Yeah. Number 12, falling for a medical billing scam. This is yet another bogus way to make money from home. With just a computer and internet access, consumers can make anywhere from $20,000 to $45,000 a year for medical billing, no experience necessary. That's the claim anyway. But this so-called business opportunity requires a fee of up to thousands of dollars for unauthorized software and a list of potential clients, which is often an outdated. Doctors already have professionals with the proper training and credentials to do their billing, and those professionals know a scam when they see one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And those professionals also had to go to school for it.
Yes, exactly.
If it sounds too, I mean, the moral is, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Number 13, falling for a fake prize. So this scam starts with a call, letter, or email claiming you've won some prize or gift, maybe a car or thousands of dollars or a trip, and you don't even recall entering a contest, but that doesn't seem to matter. Seniors are especially a common target for these scams. They just pay some fees, taxes, and handling costs, and that prize will be on the way. But there are always additional fees that keep popping up to delay the delivery, and the prize will never arrive. For the number 14, falling for a foreign lottery scheme. Oh, this is kind of new. Even consumers who don't buy lottery tickets, so like we talked about earlier, may be conned into thinking they've won the lottery in a foreign country. In one such scam that caught the attention of Snopes, winners were informed that $3 million were waiting for them in a bank in the Netherlands, and they could claim a lump sum payout and be eligible for $1.3 billion lottery later, but had to keep the award confidential until the money had been remitted. A follow-up letter required a fee of more than $5,500 for processing the payment. Man, you know, this really preys on desperation, and most people, I think, would say, well, that doesn't sound right. I never entered a contest. Right. But they just play the numbers, and all it takes is one.
Oh, exactly. If I ran that scheme, if I can get one person, by sending a ton of emails out, I get one person back, shoot, that's a good day. Do one of those a month.
Yeah, it's very low cost to send all these emails out.
You do one a month. That's a great year.
Yeah, yeah. Emails and robocalls, very cheap and inexpensive.
Yep.
Falling for a mystery shopper scam. Shoppers are asked to visit stores and make purchases to help retailers understand whether their marketing concepts and customer service are effective or needing improving. Many are hired by legitimate businesses, according to the FTC, and are paid for writing and submitting reports online. But scammers promote the gig as the first step toward a high-paying career and require payment to guarantee a job or get a certification before applying. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mystery shopping is not a career.
No, no. I saw that word like, really? No.
No. I mean, not to knock on it. It's a legitimate side gig, but it's not a career.
No.
No. You know, a lot of these things remind me of what you might see in a Craigslist employment section,
yes,
right?
Yes, because that's where they were at, too. I still see them on Facebook, though, too.
Yep.
They're out there.
Number 16, falling for an overpayment scam. Small business owners need to watch out for con artists who send checks as payment for products or services in amounts that are higher than what is owed. The scammers, claiming they overpaid by accident, ask the company to deposit the check and wire them the excess amount, but it can take several days for the check to clear. By the time it bounces from insufficient funds, the victimized company may have already sent real money that's hard to recover. I don't think this is limited to companies. I think it happens with people selling things like on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. Yeah.
Yep. I've heard this on Clark Howard's radio show. People are still calling in about this and it is actively going on. And a lot of it came from Craigslist once again.
Yeah.
And all those other online things. No, it's not just companies. It's individuals. Right.
I mean, anytime someone asks you to wire something or send them a gift card instead of money, have your little red flag radar in the back of your brain.
Yep.
Go.
eBay also. If you're a seller on eBay, it happens to you that way.
Yeah. Yes, immediately. Don't ever get involved in wiring. I mean, unless you're wiring
Western
money.
Union, I'm out. Like, no. No.
Yeah. The one exception I make is wiring funds for two attorneys' offices.
Well, that would be different. Yeah.
Yeah. Number 17, falling for a phishing scam. Did you know this month is Cybersecurity Month, Craig?
No, I did not.
It is.
I should have known that, actually.
Yeah. So this is very timely. Not all schemes involve the transfer of money. Sometimes scammers send phishing emails seeking your personal information to claim a prize or as a verification for another transaction. The information might include a social security number, address, and bank account number, which can be used to steal a consumer's identity or drain a bank account. In another approach, an email attachment might be portrayed as more information or a verification form, but actually contains a virus that searches your computer for personal information. Mm-hmm. The FTC encourages consumers to report scams that come their way. Yeah.
Yep.
So, hot tip, if you don't recognize who's sending you the email, don't click on anything. No links, no attachments, nothing. Even if it looks like someone you might receive something for, if you hover over their from address at the very bottom of your screen, you'll see what the actual URL is, and oftentimes it's something blatantly obvious that it's not legitimate. And then finally, no bank or legitimate financial institution is going to request any of your personal information by email.
No. Can we go back to the wire thing that you mentioned earlier? If you get this happens to companies, and it's so believable that people do it. So they get information to wire money. They look at the email, like, fine. They look at the information, then they go ahead and wire their money. And it was not legit. Even though they knew that, this is someone we work with. Yeah, we're supposed to send this housing payment. Done.
Yeah.
And you should always contact that who you're going to wire and to get a verbal confirmation over the phone. Don't do it through email.
I'm really glad you mentioned that because it's okay if they email you the instructions because that way you have it in writing. Right. But always, 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 once you receive the email, call and then verify verbally that the information is correct because scammers have become very good at intercepting those emails and replacing that attachment with their own so that you wire into their account instead. And once you wire, it's gone.
What is the one girl from Shark Tank? It happened to her just a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah, Barbara Corcoran.
Barbara Corcoran. It happened to her with her assistant who knew better and still happened. So don't think you can't
Barbara
avoid
was
this.
The one who did it because she thought the email was coming from her assistant.
She did it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, she did.
See, so guys, don't think you can't be fooled by this stuff. Verbally verify all this stuff.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. So that's Oh, and then finally, 18. We made it to the end. Falling for a Ponzi scheme. So in Ponzi schemes, excellent returns are promised for small investments. And that can be true as long as there are new investors, because the money is actually coming from the investors buying in, not from the company's actual investments. When the number of investors levels off, the participants learn that they have been conned. The SEC has more on the warning signs of Ponzi schemes. Yeah, I mean, one of the law firms I work for actually has spent years and years trying to prosecute against a Ponzi scheme and a civil action to try and recover millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
But if the returns that are promised are too good to be true, there's likely something wrong.
You know how many wealthy people have fallen for this stuff? I mean, I watched this TV show on CNBC, American Greed.
Yes.
Every episode is almost that.
And these are smart people. Intelligent, educated people falling for this.
Absolutely. Many wealthy, people who went to top schools still fall for this. I'm sticking with my basic
stuff,
because they think this
is the newest thing. If I can get 35% return instead of 12% in my 401k, yeah, sign me up.
And there are people that gave up their life savings, and now it's these elderly people, they fell for it, and now they have zippy.
And like Bernie Madoff?
Oh, my God. It's so sad watching that show and how people just... But these people, they're very good at it. These Ponzi guys. So that show just mesmerizes me. I'm like, oh my God. I'm so petrified at investing that it's like, you know what? I'm doing fine the way I'm doing it. I'm going to stick with what I'm doing. I'm not going to get crazy with investing. I'm petrified of losing my money. Yeah. Just stuff like that. Anyway, that was a great
list. So there you go. 18 ways people become broke by trying to become rich.
Wow. That was loaded. But, I mean, that basically covered a lot of things that we talk about right there.
Yeah. In summary, don't fall for a scam, number one.
Yeah. Boring is all. Boring investing can actually be the best thing for you guys. Don't go for quick money.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Amanda. That was amazing. Thank you much.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.